Okay, let's start. What do you say?
Beautiful.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. We're live. Beautiful. Hello, everyone. Shalom. So I'm Tovim. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And I'm used to say it in Jerusalem when we have traffic jams because of things that are happening in Jerusalem. But today people told me about traffic jams here in Manhattan because of the UN, the assembly, the events that are taking place there. Anyway, thank you for coming. After the Chagim, Bezrat Hashem, during the month of Cheshvan, we will continue the shiur, this weekly shiur. But just like you all asked, the hours will be much more comfortable to most of us. Yom Shlishi, okay, Tuesday evening. We will publish, we'll post everything. Please follow and be with us. And I want to thank, as always, Rabbi Ari Berman, the president of YU here, Yeshiva University, Harav Dr. Stu Halperin, Harav Dr. Yaakov Taubes, the great Michal Haas, the great Stephanie Strauss back there in Israel, Jonathan and Uri that are working so hard. They're broadcasting us live now from Manhattan on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. And you're more than welcome to tell us where are you from and where are you watching us from. I want to thank Karen Danieli that is sponsoring this broadcast. I want to thank Yoshua Siskin that is really helpful with the translation. And we have a few dedications before we'll start. Ortal Tamam is here with us today. Ortal will dedicate the shiur le'ilui nishmat her uncle Moshe Tamam Hashem Ikom Damo Moshe Ben Eli, an Israeli soldier. Gail Peretz asked her to dedicate the shiur lezichron aviha Elia Leib ben Shlomo Isaac and her brother Rafael Chaim ben Elia Leib. Rachel מאופנהיים מישראל מבקשת להקדיש את השיעור לזכר חיה גיטל בת הרב משה אברהם פטרובר וזלטה רייזל בת יהודה יעקב ודבורה אופנהיים. אלעד מירושלים מקדיש את השיעור לעילוי נשמת אמו איתה שרה בת מרים ו אישה יקרה מהגולן, מבקשת להקדיש את השיעור לעילוי נשמת בנה, החייל שחר שלב שנפל בצוק איתן, שחר בן שמעון, יום הולדתו ה-26 השבוע, להבדין להקדיש את השיעור לרפואת, for the speedy recovery of, אסתר בת מוטות, דוב בן לובה, פרידה בת ברוניסלבה, משה יצחק הלוי בן נחמה, והילד ניר רפאל בן רחל, ברכה, רפואה שלמה. בשבוע הבא, now we're in Manhattan tonight, we're flying to London, Bezrat Hashem, the whole family. So if you have friends, people in London, Leeds, we're in Leeds for Rosh Hashanah, and Manchester, you're more than invited. London this Shabbat, then Leeds, then Manchester, you're more than invited to come and meet us there. And let's start with our parasha. But we will not only discuss the parasha today, we will discuss Rosh Hashanah, the holy days that are coming Monday and Tuesday. I just came back from Israel from covering the elections. I went there, you know, in order to vote and as a journalist to cover the elections. And the battlefield there is, you know, Netanyahu, Gantz. Nobody really understands the result yet. But I came back home. My kids asked, Mommy, mi nitzach? I mean, who won? I don't know. It's a complicated answer. But the real battlefield of life is Rosh Hashanah. And that's the battle not between Netanyahu and Gantz. Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer HaRa. The bad and good inclinations we have. There's no rotation here, no compromise. The final result, it depends on us. And it reminded me of a beautiful sentence Franz Werfel once said about politics and Rosh Hashanah. It reminded me of the sentence, our generation has become so interested in the left and the right that it has completely forgotten that there is also an above and below. So we will concentrate on the lemata and lemata, lemala, not only yamin and small, not only left and right. And we will talk about the most simple things in Rosh Hashanah. Nothing is too complicated today. The most simple things we do and we say during these days. I want to start with the Hebrew word, chadash, שנה חדשה. A happy new year. We say it all the time, right? Happy new year, שנה חדשה, שנה טובה חדשה. What does it mean חדש? What do we mean when we bless someone and tell him שנה חדשה? May you have שנה, a good שנה חדשה. And our sages ask us to think about three things every day, to see these three things as completely new, as we just got them, like they are really, really חדש. It's very interesting. In our sources, I asked that these are the sources I found. If you know of anything else, I'd like to know. But you do see that Chazal are sending us again and again. They're giving us homework in these three fields, only three fields, that we must see as new, as chadashim, during our life. Let's start with the first, and during the, we see it always, when we read the book of Elul, the book of Dvarim, it leads us, you know, toward Rosh Hashanah, and we read it during the month of Elul. So the first thing we see, again and again, in Sefer Dvarim is innovation in the Torah. To find something new in the Torah. Now the Torah is ancient, the Torah is old, the Torah is holy. Will we say the Torah is new? It's even dangerous. No. Are you changing things in the Torah? How can the Torah be new? We got this gift from our ancestors and we're just passing it to the next generation. Gently, without even touching it, without changing anything. It's true. But we must find something new inside this old Torah. And as I said, Chazal and Rashi, they're telling us this message again and again. היום הזה, השם אלוקיך מצווך לעשות את החוקים האלה ואת המשפטים, ושמרת ועשית אותם בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך. This day, by the way, the word היום, appears in the book of Dvarim more than 70 times. This is one of the key words, the guiding words of Sefer Dvarim, Hayom. Again and again, it happens Hayom, it happens Hayom. That's the last speech Moshe Rabbeinu is giving. These are his final words. It's his will. Why do you say Hayom again and again? And we will see the reason in a minute. This day, we'll just translate the Pasuk, this day Hashem is commanding you to fulfill these statuses and audiences, and you will observe and fulfill them with all your heart and with all your soul. So this day, Rashi is quoting other commentators. Rashi is telling us, what is this day? Lama hayom? What happened today? This morning I woke up, I tried to wake up the kids to send them to school. We just met, for the first time we missed the yellow bus. That was so exciting. We really felt like real Americans. We missed the yellow bus. My husband had to take our girl to school, and you know, I'm packing, you know, because we're flying to London tonight. I wasn't at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai this morning. Why is Hayom Hazeh? What happened Hayom Hazeh? You all came here to Manhattan. Now, what happened Hayom? Rashi's telling us, Bechol Yom, Yiyu Be'enecha Chadashim, Ke'ilu Vo Vayom Nitztaveta Alehem. I'm supposed to live as if this morning, in my living room, in my kitchen, I received again the Torah. That's what Rashi is telling us. This day, this suggests each day they should be to you as something new, as though you had received the commands that very day for the first time. I should act as if it is the newest thing I just got from Amazon to our door. Yeah, we have Amazon Prime. We're getting into it. So every day, you know, they have the things coming up. So I should treat the Torah like it just arrived to my door this second? The answer is yes. And we have so many other examples while we read the book of Dvarim. Because again and again, Rashi is telling us, each day should be in your eyes as if only now you came into a covenant with Hashem to be a nation. That's in another parasha in the book of Dvarim. So once again, I'm supposed to look at the Torah as it was given this morning. That's very problematic. Everything out there looks new. Netflix is new. A new CD, clip, a new WhatsApp video that was sent to me. That's new. The Torah is old. Now, there is a strategy here. It requires a serious effort in order to really find new things in the Torah. It can't be like shallow, like superficial. We must invest time, energy, even money, if we pay for Jewish education, and you know what I'm talking about, we must think of ways of making the Torah something interesting, relevant, accessible, available, applicable, interesting, fascinating. You can add more words to describe the Torah. But once again, the first like mission here is to first of all, to work hard. I mean, many commentaries are saying, if you do not find something new, it means you haven't worked hard enough. You must try, you know, with continuous devotion, with, try to develop relationship, try to understand better. I see it in our personal home, Baruch Hashem. My husband, for a few years, is really learning seriously Hadafa Yomi, the daily Gemara study that you learn. And you see, it, you know, the first day, nothing happened. But after a year, our world really has changed. And it doesn't happen right away. It's much easier when it's on Facebook, on YouTube. And of course, the Torah should be there too. This year is now broadcasted live on Facebook. But you must think, and that's the timing, the beginning of the new year, you must think, how can I make the Torah more interesting and more relevant? How can it be more serious? I think in our generation, we have a new opportunity. It's not only learning and studying, which is, of course, so important. We're sitting in the Bern Bet Midrash of Stern College. You see girls seriously learning here all day. So, but it's not only learning. It's also the cultural aspect. I think in our generation, Baruch Hashem, we had the privilege, the zchut, of seeing Jewish culture for the first time. And that's a renewal. That's something really renewed. You can see a movie that will make you closer to Hashem. You can listen to a song. I really want to recommend before Rosh Hashanah to everyone here, even if you do not speak like Hebrew fluently, try and listen to the new song that was composed and written by Yishai Ribo in Israel, Seder HaAvodah. He describes, and I think, really, for thousands of years, we learn Seder HaAvodah, what the Kohen Gadol, what the highest priest is doing in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash, during Yom Kippur. But for the first time, don't Google it now, I see you're looking for it. But for the first time, this young, talented singer from Eretz Israel is describing the process of the Kohen Gadol and of the people of Israel, Am Israel, during Yom Kippur. So creative, so inspiring, really so touching. And this single was written like a month ago. It's something new. As I said, we can search for new ways to understand the Torah, to explain it to others. And that's really a big zchut we have during this generation. So that's the first mission we're given. But there's something else. The second thing, and maybe it's even harder, it was the Torah. It's learning. It's a huge concept. Anyone can find something new during this year to decide, I'm learning this book. I don't know, I'm doing this. I'm learning with this chavruta, with this kid, with my husband. I don't know. But the second thing I think is even harder. The second thing that must be renewed is Eretz Israel, innovation in the land of Israel. Now, the land of Israel is the promised land, is the holy land. Is it a new land? God forbid, we always claim, we say here in the UN and everywhere that that's our justification. We are here for thousands of years. That's the ancient land of our ancestors. That's why we came back here to our homeland. It's not a new, nothing is new, no. Everything is so old from really the days of Abraham Avinu. How can we say something new in Eretz Israel? Me, my family, I always quote it. I'm seventh generation in Israel. My great-great parents came during the first Aliyah, the first pioneers that came to Eretz Israel before the State of Israel was founded, more than 100 years ago. They came from Russia to establish a city called Rishon LeZion, the first Rishon, yeah? It's from the prophecies, but Rishon LeZion. Today it's a huge city, Rishon LeZion, near Tel Aviv. So how can I claim Eretz Israel is new? How can I wake up every morning and say, whoa, what a new land I just entered? But that's what, again, that's what Chazal is saying to us. Let's look at this pasuk. I'm just giving examples. There are a lot of examples for these ideas. Ve'ayaki avyacha Hashem el eretz ha'kna'ani ka'asher nishba lecha ve'la'avotecha u'netana lach. And it will come to pass when Hashem will bring you into the land, this land, and as He swore to you and to your forefathers, and He has given it to you. U'netana lach. He did not give it to my forefathers. He gave it to me. That's the concept here. Look again, Rashi. ונתנה לך. תהה בעיניך כאילו ניתנה לך בו ביום. Once again, Amazon is knocking on your door. It's here, the land of Israel. תהה בעיניך כאילו ניתנה לך בו ביום. אל תהי בעיניך כירושת אבות. That's weird. That's a new concept. We're so used to think of it as Yerushat Avot. It should seem to you as if he gave it to you today, and it should not seem to you as an inheritance from your forefathers. That's really a revolution when it comes to Eretz Israel. And of course, it does not mean Avraham Avinu wasn't the first one to walk there. But when we walk there, and when we are here, supporting Israel, loving Israel, caring about everything that goes on there, we must remember it's not only a legacy from the previous generations, it's a completely new thing we're starting right now. It's a startup. Again, it's hard to find new ways to love Eretz Israel, to have this effective bond with it. I started thinking about it. I was preparing this shiur while I was in Israel a few days ago for the elections. And I really thought, maybe sometimes only when you're away, you learn to appreciate the land more. After a month out of Israel, that's the longest period I was ever out of my homeland, I became like really addicted. I was smiling to everyone on the plane. They thought I'm crazy. I'm kind of, naive. I was coming back. I missed everything. I missed the kotel, but I missed the cottage, you know, the cheese. I really missed the cottage because the cheese here is, you can eat the box or the cheese. Doesn't matter. Choose. So I missed the Israeli cheese, Eretz, Zavat, Chalav, Vedvash, the land of milk and honey. I missed the kotel. I started watching videos, of the elections, the campaigns. I think I even missed Avigdor Lieberman. No, not really. But I really missed, everything, this whole experience of being there. And suddenly I realized why here, sometimes it's more exciting from the outside. When you're not there, sometimes you miss somebody. And it's more meaningful than really being there with this person or with this land. I think here, you've created a lot of, you've created a system of really loving Israel from here. That's interesting. I even see it anytime I meet an American Jew. It's fascinating. They always ask, where are you from? And I have a way of defining how connected this Jew is. If he comes, he asks me, where are you from in Israel? So I say, Jerusalem. You do not say Jerusalem. Here you say, Yerushalayim. So I say, Yerushalayim. And he's like, okay. Some people say, okay, Yerushalayim. But most of the Jews I met so far, what do they say? Of course, where? Which neighborhood? Exactly. I have a sister here, a brother here. My sister went there. My niece is there. We lived a year for... So is it Ramot? Is it Sanhedria? Is it Nachlaot? Is it Rechavia, Shari Chesed? All the American Harnof, all the American neighborhoods. But I tell them, no, I live in Mishkenot HaUma. It's a new neighborhood. When you enter the city, there's a new neighborhood, near Binyanei HaUma, near the Cinema City, near the Supreme Court. Choose your holy place. I don't know, but any, all these institutions. So that's where I live in Jerusalem, Baruch Hashem. And you see people, they're interested. It means something when you're really interested. We have nobody heard of here about Mishkenot HaUma. We do not have a midrasha for a gap year, so you don't know anything about the place. But anyway, it's interesting to see how from here you care, you love, you feel close. And recently, a friend of ours, Rav Avi Berman, the head of OU Israel, also described such a moment of seeing how American Jews, sometimes you remind us how special it is to live in Eretz Israel. It was every year, the last minutes of Tisha B'Av, last minutes of fasting, thousands of Americans from OU, NCSY, all kinds of groups and camps, they come to the Kotel, to the Western Wall, and they just sit there for like an hour, and they sing so beautifully. They sit together and sing, and Rabbi Berman was there with them, and he described this moment. He told me, it was so interesting to see the Israelis listening to these Americans singing all these songs about Beit HaMikdash, Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, the Holy Land, redemption, tshuva. And the Israelis were, you know, they came closer and they joined the circle and they started singing these songs. And he said, I was looking at them and they reminded the Israelis that these guys were on their way back. I mean, that was, I think, the last day in Israel. So it was interesting to see how sometimes you remind us how special it is. But as Chazal are saying here, we should all work really hard in order to find the real Israel, the new, the interesting, the attractive Israel. I found it this week, by the way. That's a picture that was taken during the month of Elul in the Western Wall now. I went there a few days ago. I really missed the place. So at the end of the show, we had a really long show going on live, you know, as an anchor, I was speaking for during the elections. I mean, live, we're talking about the election, the results. I broke my own personal record. I don't know if you know, but it's like in the sports field, we, the journalists, we have our own personal records. How many hours can you broadcast live without stopping? I broke my own record now. I talked for 15 hours. That's crazy, yeah. My husband think I can talk for much more than what, 15 hours? That's, I know you, you can. But anyway, listening and talking, interviewing people, listening to other journalists, but that it lasted for 15 hours. I don't know if I said smart things, but I talked. At the end, for the last 2 hours, you become so confused. I saw Netanyahu twice, like double. It became so confusing. Anyway, at the end of the when I left the studio near Jerusalem, I went to the Kotel for Slichot. And it really reminded me the true nature of Eretz Israel. And you sit here, you read the headlines, which are, of course, extreme, not so positive about the situation, the political, the deadlock in Israel. But I really thought, while I was there at the Kotel, that the process we're now facing, that this process of Elul, is the healthiest thing in this timing. On my way there, I saw all these huge ads, the billboards, you know, the slogans. He's the strongest, and he's the worst, and he's the best, and he's so weak, and he's nothing, and I'm perfect. All these, you know, political slogans and for the elections. And on my way there, we all know now that these slogans are all wrong. Nobody won. Nobody's perfect. Nobody can do it by himself. These are the results. We can't. We just can't. We can't ignore huge sectors. We can't ban. We can't say something, things like this about the other side of the political spectrum because nobody gave us a majority here. We're stuck, but we're stuck together. And that's maybe the main message of Slichot. I was walking to the Kotel, I opened the Sidur, the Machzor with the Slichot. I joined the Minyan, I heard a Sephardi Minyan, and they were saying like all these beautiful, beautiful slogans, but completely the opposite process. I'm not perfect. I'm imperfect. I can't do it alone. I don't want to talk about what's wrong with you. I want to see what's wrong with me. And I want to fix it together and correct it. And I want to be better. And I can't do it. I need assistance. I need help. And it's not only the people of Israel. We need to be there together in order to daven, to be together during the high holidays. I need his help. We can't do it alone. Even if we have unity, we need unity with Hashem. And this really reminded me, and you see, thousands of people there every night. And I think this message, that's the right message that should come out of the land, from the land of Israel nowadays. And as I said, that's the second mission, to see it as a completely new place. Now let's move forward to the third, maybe hardest mission. Innovation in the family. Chidush b'mishpacha. Now, throughout the book of Dvarim, as I said again and again, our commentators are telling us, this is the new thing. This is the thing you should really be focused on. Concentrate here. Now, there are a lot of instructions. It's interesting. These are the instructions when you enter the land of Israel. There are a lot of instructions about children, married life, education, the next generation, great, great children, the questions the children will ask you, the answers you will give them. It is all quoted, part of it, in the Haggadah, every Passover, every Pesach, the way they should be educated after entering the land of Israel. And again, precisely we see how the most, I would say, old boring, familiar place must be the place where we feel really renewal, where we have feelings of something new is happening here. It's hard. Every time we go to a wedding, to a chuppah, we hear the words, Harei at mekudeshet li betaba'at zo kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. With the ring, the broom is saying, mekudeshet li kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. By the laws of Moshe and the people of Israel. Why is it mentioned specifically there, during the chuppah, during the wedding? What's so important there to say kedat Moshe v'Yisrael? There are commentators, we'll quote one of them, Be'er Tzvi, Rabbi Tzvi Kinzlicher from Hungary. He says to us, Shekama yoter sheyadur ima nitvasefet ha'ava. As long as he lives more years with her, with his wife, or she lives with him, there's more love added there. Just like the Torah, Shebechol yom yeh be'enecha kechadashim, just like we quoted, every day you should see there's something new. Gam bekidushim, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, just like Moshe and Israel, like the Torah, supposed to be new every day, married life must be something new, new experience completely every day. Now, that's quite crazy. I'm an average person. How can I wake up every morning? Boom, the Torah is here. Wow, the land of Israel is so new. Whoa, my husband, completely new. What's going on here? That's like the mission. If you want to really have Shana Chadasha, that's the guidance. These are the three elements you should take care of. Seeing what's going on in your family, with your kids, with your parents, with your husband or wife, with this whole close, intimate circle you have, which is sometimes you see as trivial, obvious, banal, boring, like it's not so interesting, nothing really happens here. Everything happens there, outside. No. Our commentators are telling us the real things are happening inside. These are the real, like the strongest connections, the strongest things you create. And once again, I saw it this week. As I said, I was in Israel, covering the elections, 15 hours, broadcasting live, blah, 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 etc., etc. Now, people were sending me, Yishar Koach, you know, Kol HaKavod, wow, way to go, good for you, or in Hebrew, Totachit, Madim, Kol HaKavod. Now, I'm like, thank you very much, but I know the truth. You know, the truth is, it's not so hard. I was in Israel by myself, alone. My husband stayed here with 5 kids. Tell me who worked harder. Me, walking to the studio, talking about Lieberman, Gantz, Netanyahu, the Arabs, the Haredi, the religious Zionists, talking to people, going back, sleeping whenever I want. I felt really, for me, it was like a single after so many years. It was weird. I remember I got into a taxi and I just turned, in Israel and Jerusalem, and I turned around because I didn't need to fasten any child's seatbelt. It was weird. I was just sitting with the driver and searching. I walked into a restaurant and ordered some food. And I'm like, okay, but who, nobody wants anything? You're alone here, hey. So these days for me were a weird experience. And the whole world, my friends, are sending me, Kol HaKavod, Kol HaKavod. Why? Because I woke up really early and went to a TV studio and talked. The real Kol HaKavod was supposed to be sent to here, 5 towns, to my husband, preparing 5 kids and every morning. That's Kol HaKavod, that's Yishar Koach, that's impressive. Now, I was thinking to myself, when you used to see these things as, wow, so impressive, I must give you some, you know, feedback to respond, to really appreciate what you do. Wow, you prepared 5 kids, you made snacks, and the backpacks, and you signed, and you saw their homework, and the mission of waking them up and making them put on their clothes. Kol HaKavod. No, that's trivial. But Kol HaKavod, you spoke about Lieberman. That's... So the Torah really tells us the real place. It's a revolutionary concept, okay? The real place, the real interesting place should be your family and your house. And that's the real renewal, I would say. And you should find sweetness there. Meaning there. That's the real mission in your life, much greater than the elections. And if we just conclude this part, this first part, we see that we receive 3 great gifts. We can't take them for granted. And today, nowadays, in the post-modern world, that's so hard to really appreciate an ancient text. Just a text, just a book. No, that's our Torah. And I want it to be relevant. To really appreciate a piece of land, how primitive can you be? That's just a piece of land. No, it says Israel. It's holy. It's old. It's new. I'm really connected. And it's really hard to appreciate married life. Okay, it's like the boring part of life. Nobody really appreciates it. Raising your kids, being in touch with your parents, or great, great parents. Renewal is something you see outside. That's usually the cultural concept. And that's the revolution of Rosh Hashanah. Shana Chadasha means I will find chidush. I will find innovation in where? In the oldest places. And that's basically should be our goal. That's the first part. As I said, we will talk, we will discuss simple concepts. The second part, and we all, Bezrat Hashem, we're all going to hear the shofar in a few days, on Monday morning, and the next day, Thursday morning. That's the main mitzvah. That's the main thing you should do on Rosh Hashanah. There are other nations celebrating in other ways. Times Square, I walked from Times Square a few weeks ago from here. I think 30, 40 minutes, you walk and you see Times Square. You can have really a ceremony there, loud countdown until the first second of the year, celebrating out on the street. We don't do it. Other nations can celebrate in other ways. But our nation concentrates, goes into the shul, and basically clothed. For Jews, it's very hard to close their mouth and just listen to the simple sound of the shofar, the blowing of the shofar. That's, again, a revolutionary concept. That's not so simple, this simple moment. What happens is, first of all, people really search for deep meanings, and it's good. But let's just remember that the basic meaning is, that's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment from the Torah. We do what Hashem told us to do thousands of years ago on this holy day. So before we go into, you know, all these interpretations and creative ideas about the shofar, and it's beautiful. Let's just remember, we do what we're meant to do in these special moments, to listen to the sound of the shofar. ובחודש השביעי, באחד לחודש, that's Rosh Hashanah, מקרא קודש יהיה לכם, כל מלאכת עבודה לא תעשו, יום תרועה, a day that the horn is sounded. יום תרועה יהיה לכם. And the book of Vayikra also says, בחודש השביעי, באחד לחודש, once again, Rosh Hashanah, שבתון, זיכרון, תרועה, מקרא, קודש. A sacred occasion commemorated with loud blasts of the shofar. So basically, before asking ourselves why and how I'm doing what I'm meant to do, the Rambam, when he starts describing the mitzvot, Hilchot Shofar, chapter number one, halakha number one, the beginning of everything is mitzvah taseh shel Torah. That's a biblical commandment to hear the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. As it says, it is a day of blowing the horn unto you. Okay, so that's the basic thing I'm doing. I'm a simple Jew. I want to do what I'm supposed to do during that day. But of course, there is a secret here. Why do we do it? What happens up there when we do it down here? Rabbeinu Bechaye, 800 years ago in Spain, Rabbeinu Bechaye, Ibn Pakuda, is telling us there is a secret. You might not know what the secret is, but it's important to know there is a secret here. You are doing something very important. Parasha zo stuma yoter mishar parshiyot ha-moadim. This parsha, this paragraph is enigmatic more than any other paragraph regarding the festivals, regarding the chagim, the moadim. And we know that the more hidden, the more something is deeper and has like inner meaning, the more discreet it is. The message the Torah talks about it in a few words, lashon k'tzara v'milim mu'atot, just in a few words, in an abbreviated language. But the shorter it is, the deeper it is. And here we, of course, I do not know all the secrets about the shofar. We can just try and look at two huge, scholars that taught us, I would say, two main ways of treating these special moments of the shofar. So what we do basically, and it's very, very simple, but think of it, in our loudy, really, listen to all the noises. If I will just be quiet for a few seconds, let's try. Let's just listen to what's going on outside right now, okay? Lexington Avenue. Let's be quiet for a minute. There's an ambulance. Do you listen to it? You hear the cars? Okay, it's crowded. The world is crowded. The world, it's loud. Everything is, there are so many sounds out there. Think of how many sounds you hear during 1 year. Since you last heard the shofar, okay, a whole year passed, long year, how many things we've all been through as a nation, as individuals, okay? Think of it, as the Jewish people, how many things we experienced, we've been through. And now, we come back for this moment of silence, and we just say simple things. It's beautiful to just listen to the words of the bracha. Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmo kol shofar. What is he telling us to do? I think it's the only time when we're not supposed to do anything. Don't light the candle, don't build the sukkah, don't eat a matzah. No, just commanded us to hear the voice of the shofar. He commanded us to hear, not to speak, to be passive and not active. And of course, we add shehechiyanu to this special moment. So two ways of listening to this beautiful sound of the shofar. And the first, let's say, headline is Avinu. We say a lot of times, Avinu Malkenu. So Avinu, our father, thank you. Avinu, our father, it's the first way of looking at the shofar. Habal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, Tnuat HaChasidut, is telling us a parable about a mashal, about the shofar. Again, so simple, so beautiful. And that's his language, I quote. A king had an only son, the apple of his eye. The king loved him dearly, but wanted him to broaden his education. So he sent him off to learn about other cultures and explore the globe. The son was supplied with an enormous quantity of gold, but far away from home, the gold was eventually spent. Poor and in rags, however, the son finally made it home to the king's palace. None of the king's guards recognized him, and during his long absence, the son had even forgotten his native tongue. Desperate to see his father, the king, the son cried out in a loud voice, which the king recognized. The king brought his son into the palace, kissing and hugging him. This is our cry, sounded by the shofar. I am here, I have come home. It doesn't matter how far away I went, I forgot everything. Many years ago, or just last year, I wasn't here, I wasn't really here. Now I am here, and I want to come back, and that's what matters. That's Hashem, our Father. That's us shouting something that is higher than any word we can say. And that's the first maybe way of seeing it, Avinu, our Father. Hashem is our Father, and He wants us to shine, just like we want our kids to come back home, to be in touch, to tell us what's going on in their life. And the Tivot Shalom is telling us, the Admor of Chassidut Tzlonim is telling us how important it is to feel that's really our Father, it's really Avinu, and He wants us to come back. Look at what He's saying here in Hebrew. I'll translate it into English. All the obstacles and barriers to connecting with Hashem are nothing compared to the barrier a Jew fixes in his heart, that he is far from Hashem, which is the hardest barrier of all to overcome. Okay, it's an inner barrier. That's the hardest one. If we tell ourselves, there's no chance. And so this is the main preparation for the days of Oh. Zot ha'achana l'Rosh Hashanah. To believe that you are being a child of Hashem is an eternal reality. It's a mitziut nitzchit, that He is our Father. That's the first way of listening to the shofar. But we do not always only say Avinu during these days of Oh, we say Avinu Malkenu, our King. He's not only our Father, He's also our King. And there's a beautiful, beautiful way. Harav, Professor Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, what a perfect place to quote him here, Yeshiva University, YU. He was describing what he was thinking about every time he was hearing the shofar every year during Rosh Hashanah. And it's not a halachic discussion or a philosophical, academical statement, you know. It's just a childhood story about the, let's say, Malkenu, about how Hashem is our king. And again, I quote, "My childhood years were spent in the Hasidic town of Haslowitz in Europe. Every year, when Erev Rosh Hashanah arrived, I could see on the face of my Chabad teacher great joy and unusual excitement. Once, when he wanted to share with us children of the Cheder, yeah, the school, elementary school, he wanted to share with us his feelings. He said, do you know what will happen tomorrow night? Tomorrow, once again, the crown will be placed on the head of the Holy One, blessed be He. And do you know who will put it there? Yankel the tailor and Beryl the shoemaker." Over the years, says Rav Soloveitchik, "I've given many, many talks, lectures, shiurim. I've written many discourses on the concept of Rosh Hashanah. But nothing ever made me feel the true depth and power of the day as the words of my childhood teacher. Every year, when I recite it in the Rosh Hashanah prayers, the words, 'Rule over the whole world in your glory, Melocha la'olam kulo b'chvodecha,' I remember my teacher in Haslowitz." So that's again the crown, hamlacha of the melech, of Avinu Malkenu. And you know, it's fascinating, just 2 days ago, here in Manhattan, a new shofar that reminds us of Avinu Malkenu was brought here to the States from Israel. This picture is taken from the New York Times front page, the cover, the first page. It wasn't the headline, but it was there on the front page. And what you see here, the headline talks about an ancient shofar from the Holocaust that will now, you can see it here in the gallery at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. A professor from Israel, I interviewed her this week, Professor Judith Tidor from Bar-Ilan University. Her father, a Holocaust survivor, was taking this shofar with him during the Holocaust. He somehow survived. A Jew in the concentration camp told him, "Take the shofar with you." They had this shofar with them. They were blowing during Rosh Hashanah, secretly, discreetly. I mean, it was illegal, but they had the shofar during Rosh Hashanah. And this Jew gave him the shofar because he said, "I will not survive." Unfortunately, he was right, and he passed away. And her father got this shofar, and he walked Buchenwald, Auschwitz, all these camps, and until he was on his way to Israel, on a ship from Europe to Israel, it was again Rosh Hashanah. So he was blowing the shofar once again for all the Holocaust survivors. And they arrived to Haifa on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the year 1945. They arrived on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So they stayed there for a whole day because they didn't want to start, you know, their life in Israel during the Chag. So they stayed there for another day, and then they started their life in Israel. And her father passed away. He left her the story and the shofar. And she heard about a new exhibit here in the gallery about Auschwitz. And she heard they really need the Shmishei Kedusha, holy things that were done, holy mitzvot, like practices, but physical things that you can show about what the Jewish life in Auschwitz during the Holocaust. She heard it in Israel. She took the shofar. She had it in her home. She flew here, and there was a very exciting ceremony this week to show this shofar here in order to show the whole world, basically, this story and how we do not forget Avinu Malkenu, never, not during the Holocaust and not this year, and how these messages are really a part of our life always. I want to summarize the journey we did here. We spoke about the word chadash, a very simple word in Hebrew, Shana Chadasha, Happy New Year to all of us. And we mentioned there are three areas that should be where we should feel renewed: Torah, the land of Israel, and family and married life. Okay, if only we can find new meanings in these areas of life. And we learned a little bit about the secret of the shofar. First of all, it's a basic commandment, but if we really listen to the secret, we listen to Avinu, like the Baal Shem Tov is telling us, and we listen to the meaning of Malkenu, like Rabbi Soloveitchik is telling us. And as you see, it is so relevant this week. It was on the New York Times. I really wish us all Shana Tova Umetuka, Ktiva V'Chatima Tova. See you Be'ezrat Hashem after the Chagim here at Stern College. Toda Rabba. Thank you very much. Toda. Thank you.